to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at redrock_bball, facebook.com/redrockbasketball, and the email address is redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com. Another one of the Season in Review podcasts, getting through them. Today we're going to be talking about the Detroit Pistons. Now, the Pistons, another team who, I thought that Pistons would make the playoffs in the preseason. That obviously didn't happen. A number of factors. New coach, injuries, Josh Smith. I think they're the three things that really set this team back. Smith was waived around Christmas time in one of the more, I'm trying to think of the right word, it's not baffling, gutsy, bold moves. By just waiving him outright, not trading him, not just sitting him down, just saying, okay, Josh, it's just affecting our team. You're done. You're gone, when he had so much money left. It was bold, and it's what the team needed. And we saw as soon as Smith left, the team started playing 100 times better. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but a lot better. The chemistry between Brandon Jennings, Andre Drummond, Greg Monro worked a lot better. Monro and Drummond weren't as crowded in the front court. And the wins started piling up. Then Brandon Jennings went down. DJ Augustin filling at point guard, and then he was traded at the deadline for Reggie Jackson. So there's a whole heap of moving parts and pieces. Along with first-year coach Stan Van Gundy, it didn't end up in a playoff spot for the Pistons, clearly. What it did allow them to get is a clearer idea of what they want to be. I think that's the best way of putting it. Plus another lottery pick 8 in the upcoming draft. And maybe a way forward. Now, there's obviously some questions for this team in the offseason. Biggest two, what are they doing with Greg Monro? And what are they doing with Reggie Jackson? Reggie Jackson, a restricted free agent. Greg Monro, an unrestricted free agent. I think that's going to be a huge part of what happens with the Pistons next season. Are these guys back? Are they playing? Do they swing a trade? What do they do? Let's not speculate too much on what's going to happen next season, because there's obviously a lot of water to go under the bridge before then. Let's talk about what happened last season. We'll start with the point guard position, because it's probably the one that's the most unclear. Maybe that's the best way of putting it, because we just don't know what's happening with a number of guys, mainly Reggie Jackson and Brandon Jennings. We'll start with Jennings, who started off the season horrifically. I think that's fair to say. He couldn't get anything going. He was benched in favor of DJ Augustin at times. A lot of fantasy owners made panic moves and dropped Brandon Jennings, which obviously wasn't the right thing to do. And I was trying to advise people, just hold on. This guy is clearly a better player than DJ Augustin. It's not going to be an ongoing thing. And then before his Achilles injury, Jennings was on fire. He was dropping 20 assist games. He was scoring. He was doing a lot of things. And when you look at his overall numbers, they ended up relatively impressive. I know his total rank of 187th is not great. That's because he only played 41 games per game. The 49th ranked player in head-to-head leagues. And probably most importantly is he only played 29 minutes a game. Per 36, he was the 14th ranked player. That's very impressive. 15.4 points, 1.9 threes, 6.6 assists, over a steal, an 84% free throw shooter. Now, he's a dreadful field goal shooter, only 40% from the field. 36 from three is not too bad, but in those limited minutes, he put up really, really good numbers, and he was a guy who was absolutely smashing it before that injury, after that really poor start. DJ Augustin came in, and he was able to put up great numbers. He was a must-own guy until he got traded for Reggie Jackson. And then Jackson came in and was similar again, putting up big numbers, triple-doubles, 20 assist games. The last 2 months, which is the time he was in Detroit, he averaged 17.6 points, a three a game, 4.5 rebounds, 9.2 assists, 0.7 steals. He shot 44% from the field and 80% from the free throw line. So it was it's very similar to what Brandon Jennings was able to do. The assist, every point guard in Detroit was able to get big, big assist numbers. What does this mean going forward? Well, before we talk about what does it mean, let's look at Reggie Jackson. Overall, head-to-head, 60th. He did play a lot of games. Per game, 91st. But that's not the accurate representation. Post All-Star break, which is his time in Detroit, 48th. The last month, 23rd. He was getting better and better, as his time went on. And he averaged in that last month 20 points a game, 11 assists a game. That's big for a month, 20 and 11 with 5 rebounds. Now, one of his downfalls as a point guard is his lack of steals. And it's probably unrealistic for him to think that he's going to continue to shoot 48% like he did in that last month. But he put up great numbers. Now, we've had a number of questions come through about these guys. I'll touch on them now. Midnight Walker on Twitter, at KingMidnight60. What should they do with Reggie Jackson with Jennings returning? That's one question. On Facebook, Julio Torrijos, how do you think Jackson and Jennings will impact each other's value? Do you think they'll finish next season as Pistons? Jeffrey Zhao also asks, what round do we draft Reggie? So there's a lot of question marks about these guys. Now, what round do we draft Reggie? It depends. Do they offer him a qualifying offer or do they match a big contract that he gets? I would have to think that yes, they do. And Stan Van Gundy's history with point guards is that he doesn't like giving one guy big amount of minutes. Now, Jackson can play some off the ball as well. I would imagine that both these guys get 28 to 30 minutes a game. Now, Jennings won't get that initially because he's still recovering from the Achilles. But once he's back fully healthy, which will be around December or around that time, I would imagine that both guys get that 28 to 30 minutes a game. That means they're both going to have fantastic fantasy value, but they're not going to be that top 20, top 30 type guy. I'd say they'd be top 70 type players. So Reggie Jackson is... people are going to look at what he did and average 21 and 11. Let's assume that he signs with Detroit. Yeah, he averaged at 21 and 11 over the last month. And you might get those big numbers initially, but when Jennings comes back, it is going to cut into what Jackson is able to do. So I think that will drop him down to be a 50 or 60 player in the rankings. What does that mean for the drafting of it? Like I said, assuming that he does sign and stay in Detroit and Jennings remains in Detroit, I probably wouldn't be comfortable taking either of them inside the top 40. I would be happy taking Jackson inside the top 50. Jennings, because he's probably not going to be right for a few months. He was probably a later round draft pick who's going to fly home and be a top 70 guy down the stretch for the last couple of months. But I don't think I'm going to believe the hype on Reggie Jackson and going top 30 on him, just because you might get top 30 value for a month or two, but after that, I think it will drop off, and it will drop off to a more believable level. But it is definitely something that's a little bit confusing. Now, Julio also asked, do you think they'll finish next season as Pistons? Will one of them get traded? I think Jackson will sign. I think he'll be there. I think if they could get a trade for Brandon Jennings, they would. Whether they can or not, I don't know. He's got 1 year left on his contract at $8 million, and he becomes an unrestricted free agent. I think that both those guys will remain Pistons towards the end of next season, and then you'll see Jennings probably leave after that. That would be my thought process. But they're in a situation where they're going to have two decent point guards, or above average point guards, and they're going to impact each other once Jennings comes back. The other point guard on the roster, Spencer Dinwiddie, who was a second round draft choice last year, he showed a lot of good signs. He's not going to get a huge amount of playing time, though. That's the problem here. His per game numbers, 335th. He did pick it up towards the end when he was the primary backup, ranking 230th in the last month. But he's not. The opportunity is just not going to be there. 4 points he averaged, 3 assists in 13.5 minutes a game, half a steal, and a standard rookie shooting 30% from the field. He did hit 91% of his shots from the line. But we're talking deep leagues. But when we look to 2016-17, when Jennings may not be with the Pistons, Dinwiddie will be backing up Reggie Jackson as a 20-minute a game sort of guy. Then in dynasty leagues, deeper dynasty leagues, his value will start to rise. It'll be a big jump between his second and third season, not so much of a big jump between his first and second, unless injuries befall these guys. Also, at the start of the season, if Jennings is out, Dinwiddie will be the primary backup, so we'll get to see some decent numbers there. So taking him in the last round of a deep league is not a horrible move, but remember, then he will get bumped down and his value will go. So if you're looking to get off to a hot start, getting Dinwiddie early, well not early, taking Dinwiddie in a draft will be okay, but then you have to consider dropping him once Jennings comes back. The other point guard they had on the roster for times during the season was John Lucas III. I don't imagine he'll be back, and there's no real need to discuss too much about what he was able to do, because he was sort of signed when all these guys, when guys were getting injured and they needed that third point guard. So John Lucas III, not much to really talk about with him. Shooting guard, there was two guys that battled for the minutes, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Jody Meeks. And I think it was pretty clear that Meeks didn't win that battle. KCP was the starting shooting guard all season. He seemed to have a green light at all times to shoot whenever he wanted to. He played 32 minutes a game, which is the most of anybody on the team. Played all 82 games, took 12 shots a game. Didn't shoot it that well, 40%, exactly the same as Brandon Jennings. So we talk about Jennings being a bad shooter, which he is, but KCP was just as bad a shooter. His numbers were okay. 12.7 points, 2 threes a game, which is great. One over a steal, 3 rebounds, but he's a bad free throw shooter and a bad field goal percent guy. Where did he rank when we look at his rankings? Per game, 153rd, so it's not that great. Total, 95th. Because he was a guy who played 82 games. His roto rank is much worse than his head-to-head rank because so much of his value is concentrated in the fact that he hits the threes and gets points and steals. Not a great across-the-board contributor. But he did play a bit better down the stretch. The last month, 109th, which compares to that 153rd ranking. Now, he's going to be going into his third season. I think the Caldwell-Pope can be a much better player next season. I think that he will continue to hold that starting shooting guard job. His shooting should improve, fingers crossed, and we see more from him. That last month, he hit over 2 threes a game. He averaged 15.5 points a game, 1.5 steals. The field goal percentage was up to 54. So there's definitely signs of hope there, and I think that he's going to be a guy that you have to consider in pretty much all standard leagues next year. Now, it'll be hard to take him inside the top 100, but in those last 2-3 rounds, maybe even that 90 to 100 range, KCP is going to have value there. Now, Jody Meeks was brought in as the first signing by Stan Van Gundy as a free agent. He didn't really live up to it. Had the back injury at the start of the season, but even when healthy, only played 24 minutes a game. 11 points, 1.2 threes, a steal, but less than two rebounds, 1.3 assists, 42% from the field, 91% from the free throw line. So not a great season from Meeks. 165th in per game value. 191 down the stretch. So as KCP got better, Meeks tended to get worse, and that's the big takeaway. But he also played 6 less minutes a game. He's going to be a deep league guy only. I don't think there's much value for him in standard leagues. KCP will continue to grow. Meeks, he pretty much is what he is at this stage, even after that breakout season for the Lakers last season. He didn't translate that into a big year here. I think he'll be that nice backup guy who can handle the ball sometimes, not really all that often though. And play that 24, 25 minutes off the bench. I don't see that really changing too much. And he's not going to be a guy where I'm going to be looking at him for standard leagues. I don't think there's much to really gain from drafting him in that situation. Whereas KCP, I think the ability for him to rise up and really improve and become potentially a top 80, top 75 type of guy, it's definitely real. Onto the wing, the small forward position, it's pretty ugly. The players they've got here, Caron Butler, Tayshaun Prince, Quincy Miller, Cartier Martin, they're not great players. We're talking Tayshaun Prince and Caron Butler are both old. Now, Prince is an unrestricted free agent. He may or may not be back. Butler's got one more year left on his contract. There's Quincy Miller, who's also got one more year left on his contract. And Cartier Martin has got one more year as well at a player option at $1.3 million. So all these guys, bar Tayshaun Prince, are likely to be back. At pick 8, I think the Pistons should be targeting a small forward, depending on what happens with Greg Monroe. I think there's something, they definitely need to improve their wing play. Prince was a liability. Caron Butler wasn't much better. Butler did improve down the stretcher. He played a little bit better towards the end of the season. He ranked 184th in the last month of the year. But overall, 5.9 points, 1-3 a game, not a lot else. Tayshaun Prince, 7.5 points, 3.6 rebounds, 0.5 threes. Just not good numbers from any of those guys. And it's a real fantasy black hole. Even if they bring a rookie in, I don't imagine that they're going to have a huge amount of value, because you're going to have Jackson, Jennings, KCP, Munro, Drummond. We're talking about your fifth or sixth option. I don't know if that's going to be enough to have great fantasy value. It could be someone like Stanley Johnson coming in. They could also go with a Kelly Oubre. They could take Sam Decker, although that would probably a little bit early for Decker at that spot. Or they could also go with a power forward if Munro happens to leave. But Butler, Prince, Miller, Martin, there's not really much to look at and go, yeah, you know what, these guys, there's something happening with them. Well, the other guy they've got also is Sean Williams, who started the year in Miami, ended it in Detroit, and didn't do much. He did hit a three a game in 17 minutes, which is impressive for a guy who had power forward eligibility. But I don't really think there's much to like about him for next season. We're not going to be targeting these guys in standard leagues. Quincy Miller is a deep, deep dynasty guy. He can have some value if he ever gets the chance, but it just doesn't appear like he is ever going to get the chance. So nothing to really excite us too much about these guys. The front court of Detroit is where it's all happening pretty much. Let's start with Greg Monroe, who struggled early on coming off the bench with Josh Smith around. But once he moved into the starting lineup when Smith left, he was fantastic. He ranked 57th for the season, but after the All-Star break, the 18th ranked player. And that's because he had more room to move. He had more space, and he put up really good numbers. 16 points, 10 rebounds, 1.1 steals, half a block, 50 and 75 is his percentages. Now, one of his downfalls is his lack of blocks. That 0.5 is not enough. And his free throws, which have been normally not great, up to 75, which makes it... Yeah, if he hits 75% of his free throws, that's fantastic. He did all this in only 31 minutes as well. Almost 16 points, 10 rebounds. But we look what he was able to do in that last 3 months with Smith gone. 17 and 11, 1.5 steals, 50 and 75. So great numbers from Monroe. Now, with the way the Pistons handled his restricted free agency, is he going to want to sign back? I would imagine that with Smith gone, they've had words to him and gone, look, Greg, we want to go with you moving forward. Josh is out of here. We're going to eat the money. We want you to sign. I would imagine that Greg Monroe re-signs in Detroit. There are rumors of him going other places, but I think that they will re-sign Greg Monroe, and he will be there. And he'll continue to put up these decent numbers that 15 to 16 and 10. If he can get those blocks up, it'd be great. It just doesn't appear like that's something he's able to do. But a decent steals guy as a big man, his field goal percentage is good. He's going to be rock solid, and I think he should be rock solid as a top 60 guy next season. Maybe even, I wouldn't be totally against picking him inside the top 50. Their backup power forward was Anthony Tolliver, who came across from the Phoenix Suns around Christmas time as well in a deal. And he started a few games during the season with injuries. And basically, he's just a big guy who hits threes. He's like the Ryan Anderson for this team. That doesn't mean he's as good as Ryan Anderson, because he's not. But in only 19 minutes a game, he hit 1.5 threes, 6 points, 3 rebounds, doesn't do much else, and doesn't give you a good field goal percentage. But in a deeper league, for a big man who's hitting threes, he's going to continue to do that. He's going to continue to give you over a three a game in a backup role, and that's where his value lies for fantasy leagues. The last month of the season, he ranked 180th, and that's where we're talking deep 16-team sort of leagues where Tolliver has value. And if he gets in the starting role, you know, 14-team leagues, 12-team leagues may want to take consideration of him and look to add him for the short term, because I don't know if there's much going on with him long term. At center, Andre Drummond. Well, we all know the story with Andre Drummond. He can't shoot free throws. So that makes the difference between what he can do in head-to-head leagues and what he can do in roto leagues stark. Head-to-head leagues, I ranked him as my 12th player. Roto leagues, 118th. Basically, you rank him as 118th in roto, you don't want to touch him. You can't draft him and have his 39% free throw percentage weighing your team down. He started off the season horribly, and there were people, again, oh, we should drop Andre Drummond, he's useless. And yeah, he was disappointing at the start of the season. He was struggling to hit shots, but he ended up shooting 51% from the field. Now, it's not the 60 he was doing in the first couple of years, but as he gets used to a new system with Stan Van Gundy, you'd imagine that everything will start to return a bit to normal. He still averaged almost 14 points, 13.5 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 steal. These are very, very good numbers. And if you're owning him in head-to-head leagues, you're obviously punting your free throws, because you can't take 39%. It's just very hard to have that category in a winning position if you own him. That's why I've got him so high in head-to-head, because you know that you're punting that category and you're moving on. Now, in his fourth season, I would imagine that he becomes better again. We look at those numbers to increase. Could he be a top 10 player? Yeah, he could be. Easily. If I had DeAndre Jordan ranked as the 6th best head-to-head player, Andre Drummond could definitely do that. Now, Jeffrey asked me another question. Is Drummond first or second round? I think that he probably should be taken in the second round. I reckon in some leagues you'll get him in the third round, though. I don't think anybody should be really taking him in the first round. But if you're going on that punt free throw strategy, just know that you're getting yourself probably a first round talent in the middle to back end of the second round. That would be where I think that he would go. I think it would be very, not necessarily foolish, but I don't think it's a great idea to pick him in the first round of drafts. I'd rather somebody else. But if he finishes in the top 10 at the end of next season, would not be surprised one little bit. The other center on the roster, Joel Anthony. We know how old Joel is. Doesn't offer a huge amount to teams, and he is an unrestricted free agent. But what he did towards the end of the season is just put up a stack of blocks. He averaged one block a game in just 9 minutes. And when there was times when he was getting 15, 18 minutes, he was giving you 2 to 3 blocks. He became a really valuable source to sub him in, get him to give you those blocks, take him out of your lineup. He was a great rotational guy. Doesn't give you anything else. 1.8 points, 2 rebounds, and 58% shooting on one field goal attempt. But it was just the blocks and blocks only, so he's a real specialist. But he was that good as a specialist that the last month he was the 167th ranked player in head-to-head leagues. I don't necessarily think that he'll be back in Detroit. He might be in that specialist sort of role, but he's not someone that we're hoping can improve in his advanced age. He'll just continue to block shots, and that's about all. I think that covers everything for Detroit. Definitely some interesting questions here. The biggest ones, obviously, Reggie Jackson, Greg Monroe. What do they do, and how does this impact Jackson and Jennings for their fantasy value? Now, if you own Jackson or Jennings in dynasty leagues, if you own them, I think you just hold tight. If you're looking to acquire them, just be aware that I think that the asking price at this point will be too high, especially for Reggie Jackson. If you're trying to get Reggie Jackson, the price will be too high. Now, if you do own Reggie Jackson and someone offers you a crazy trade, and I'd be taking it. If someone goes and offers you a Paul Millsap for Reggie Jackson, I'd be taking it, because I think that him and Jennings are going to split time. I don't think Jennings is automatically just the backup with no playing time or anything like that. They'll play 25, 28, 27 minutes each once Jennings is back to full fitness. And that'll mean that chance of Reggie Jackson being a top 20 guy is probably done for. He will be at the start of the season, but not after that. So that's something to pay attention to. And Caldwell Pope is the guy that I really like as a dynasty flyer, someone who can jump up into that top 75 range next season. So you might be able to get him at maybe a little bit of a discount. Look for him to really jump his game up. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and subscribe to the new YouTube channel as well. You can find links in the show notes, on the website, and or just search Red Rock Basketball on YouTube and you'll find it. Subscribe there and like the show. Remember, there'll be some info coming out on the Red Rock Dynasty League within the next few days. A big Dynasty League that I'm going to start running for the listeners. I am still going to have other Red Rock listener leagues as well, but this is going to be a Dynasty format. So make sure you keep an eye out for that one. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.